Are You Receiving Killing Joke is the new book by Jyrki Spider-Hämäläinen. It's a book that basically looks at the complete story of Killing Joke from the squats of London to chart-topping singles and recording in the Great Pyramid of Giza. A new insight into a band that defies expectation and classification. Delighted to be joining me live on the line, I presume from Finland, Jyrki himself. Or shall we call you Spider today?
Yeah, just call me Spider.
Good to have you with us. Whereabouts are you? Are you in Finland, the UK? Where are you today?
I'm in Finland, in southern Finland, in Porvo, one of the oldest cities in Finland.
So explain to me a little bit about, for those who don't know, Killing Joke. I mean, they're still going. They're still a massive influence in the post-punk scene. Tell me a little bit about how they got together and who the main players are.
Well, Jazz Coleman is the singer. Jordi is the guitarist. They're the two constant members in the band throughout the 40-odd year career. Then there's Youth, aka Martin Glover, on bass, and Paul Ferguson on drums. That's the current lineup, and that was also the original lineup. They started off in late 70s. First album came out in October 1980, simply titled Killing Joke. Still some of their best work on that album. You know, they've broken up a few times, a lot of lineup changes. But, you know, as you said, they're a hugely influential band from everyone from Nirvana to Metallica.
I mean, that's one of the things with Killing Joke. I mean, they weren't really punks. They weren't goths. They weren't new wave. They had a look that was unlike any other. And they had perhaps an intelligence about what they were writing about that most of the punk scene didn't have.
Yeah, they're talking about issues like, you know, nowadays we talk about environment, that's a very hip topic, but, you know, that was something Jazz Coleman talked about, you know, and the anxiety of the world to come, and a lot of post-apocalyptic visions.
I mean, the record that I played, Love Like Blood, was it, 84, 85? And that's perhaps one of their, you know, it's from the album Nighttime, which was their biggest, if you like, commercial success, perhaps until Requiem came out. But were they sort of an underground scene? Were they an acquired taste? Because I kind of knew about Killing Joke in the early 80s, but it wasn't until, you know, the Nighttime and the one before that, Fire Dancers, came out that I really got turned onto them.
Well, one of the reasons why they got popular was the BBC radio DJ John Peel playing their first EP on the radio. And he actually thought it was a established group kind of appearing under a different name, when in fact it was a brand new group.
And from there, presumably, they picked up. I mean, they were gigging constantly. I mean, who did they play with before they, or did they always cut their own sort of path?
Well, there were a lot of, you know, kind of bands up and coming at the time. Obviously, one band you could link with them would be Joy Division. Another one you could say Killing Joke admired was Public Image Limited. They had some of the same, you know, engineers working for them. And, that emerging post-punk scene.
It would have been very easy for them after they had, you know, the hit that was Love Like Blood and then 80s to go down that sort of psychedelic first kind of road and then start doing film tracks and get a bit more poppy. But they stayed away from that, didn't they? And a lot of that's to do with The Gatherers. Explain kind of who they are as well.
Well, I'm one of them. We're the dedicated fans, kind of support each other and follow the band. And, you know, and now other people who've kind of published photo books about Killing Joke have shared the link to my book, and I've shared the link to theirs, and so on. So there's a lot of, you know, kind of a good spirit among the Gatherers.
I mean, it's kind of like, if you like Fish and the Grateful Dead. I mean, it's like a club that anybody can join, but only a few people know about.
Very true, very true.
So what was it like? What gave you the idea then to put this book together? And you spoke to pretty much everybody who's still around. So, I mean, how do you go getting in touch with youth, with Jazz and others in the surround?
Well, the thing is, I've written about the band for, you know, a few decades. Worth mentioning, back in 2012, I did my first ever main cover feature about Killing Joke for Viva La Rock magazine. And that's kind of when I got talking to the band. And I kept all those interviews from over the years regarding Killing Joke and also the various side projects they've had. And I kind of kept it on the back of my mind and knew maybe these will come handy one day. And because no one's done it before. This is the first ever biography of the band. And they definitely deserve to have one because it's such a rich and interesting history.
And not only that, of course, the history, but also, I've said this before, the look. I mean, jazz has got his own look because of his heritage. And they had that, the image of the jester, the image of the, you know, they use sort of pre-war imagery as well. I mean, it's a very strong and subversive look.
Yeah, there's a lot of juxtapositioning and things like that. I mean, Mike Cole's a graphic artist. He's, you know, kind of the one who created that look, with the help of the band, of course. He's interviewed for the book. Same goes for another graphic artist, Rob O'Connor, who followed Mike Cole's, did the kind of 80s commercial stuff, you know, did the artwork for Revelations, Nighttime, and Brighter Than Thousand Suns. So there's a lot of different perspectives to the band. Yeah, it's not just the music, it's also the look, the graphics, the artwork, and so on.
And we talk about going from the squats of London to recording in the Pyramids. Tell me a little bit about that. How did they come to record in the Pyramids? I mean, it's so kind of Killing Joke kind of thing to do, isn't it, really?
So, yeah, that was for the 1994 album Pandemonium. Youth was back in the band, and there was more of a kind of like an ambient influence in the sound. And obviously they had to bribe a lot of people to get inside the Great Pyramid of Giza. And there's a very good interview given by Greg Hunter, who's the producer on the album. And, well, I'm not going to reveal what he says, but it's definitely worth reading. And because, I mean, no one's read what other people said, so there's going to be some interesting views on various members of the band and so on.
There's also been sort of tragedy in the band because one of the early members, Raven, of course, is no longer with us. I mean, I know he wasn't kind of, he'd been out of Killing Joke for a while, but obviously if you think about them, you always do think about him. Is he covered at all in the book?
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of people who knew him. And then Ted Parsons, the drummer, he was with Raven the night he passed away. So he's talking about that as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're looking at influences and the effect that they've had on other bands, I mean, the first time I heard Come As You Are by Nirvana, I sort of went, I know that riff. That's been stolen directly from 80s. And other bands as well have taken various bits of their sort of stagecraft and their ethos, if you like.
That's very true. I mean, it's worth pointing out, The Damned had a song which had a very similar riff as well. So I'm discussing that in the book as well.
I mean, where are they now then? What are Killing Joke up to now? I mean, they're still going. I mean, they're still touring. And there were quite a few things, quite a few gatherings, weren't there, in the pipeline before the COVID hit?
Yeah, I mean, they're very active. I mean, Jazz Coleman's active doing his solo work, his classical compositions. I mean, he's very busy producing. As we talked earlier before we went on air, that Youth has a place in Spain as well, where he kind of produces music as well. Paul's doing his art restoration, drummer. Geordie doesn't really do much outside of Killing Joke. He's been invited to join other bands and do other projects, but he's always been dedicated to Killing Joke.
I mean, one of the things when you put a book like this together about a band that you are passionate about is that you always kind of find something new or a new slant or a new aspect. What came to you when you were putting the book Are You Receiving together?
Well, basically, I wanted to talk to a lot of people who haven't had their stories told yet. You know, there's a lot of engineers and producers who haven't given interviews before. And kind of, let's say the early albums, the band was, let's be honest, pretty out of it at times. So they might not recall what really went on. But there are people who do recall what went on in the studio. So there's some great stories there. which I haven't been told before.
And when you come to do a book like this as well as getting sort of the interviews down and, you know, getting the images together, you also have to listen to the music. And it must be fascinating to listen to 40, almost 50 years worth of Killing Joke and see how it's progressed and how they've always managed to sort of step outside and not be able to be classified because they're always kind of off the curve or ahead of the curve or just doing something completely out of the curve.
That's very true. Yeah, absolutely fascinating story musically as well, how they've changed and, as mentioned earlier, influenced others. I mean, I try not to give too much of my own views, but, you know, a couple of sentences on each album, what I think about them. It's mainly, you know, I give the voice to the people who really matter, the people over there, you know.
Mm. It's an interesting, wasn't it? Because you think of the people who their contemporaries were, and you know Mick Jones and the surviving members of the Clash are now reverential figures. You know Johnny Rotten is kind of the pantomime villain figure, but you know Killing Joke still making music, still with a loyal following, and still out there and doing it.
Yeah, and I hope they carry on for a long time.
The book is called Killing Joke, Are You Receiving? It's by Jyrki Spider Heimalainen, and it's out now on... Is it New Haven Books it's out with?
Yeah, New Haven Publishing, yes.
Yeah, exactly. If people want to find out more about you or about the book itself, where can they go?
Go to killingjokebook.wordpress.com. And there's also a dedicated Facebook page. If you just search for Killing Joke, Are You Receiving? That'll crop up.
The book is called Killing Joke, Are You Receiving? It's by Jyrki Spider Heimalainen, and I'm glad I got that right. Thank you so much for your time today. I think we'll play out with a bit of classic 80s.
Fantastic. We'll be right back.
There was an appearance of them on the Tube. I think it was 1983, 84. Absolutely brilliant.